The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Yeah, put the kids to bed. Forget about it. The heck with them if they don't want to listen, right? That's what I say. Notify the authorities, spin the bottle, take a pill, hold that ghost, keep the faith, roll away the stone, pass the ammunition, follow the bouncing ball, brace yourself for the shot, keep your eyes covered while you listen. It's time for chronicling. And ampersand. Philosophical entertainment, relevant to reverence. Oh boy, you are not uneducated. Time for remembrance. Time for... Hey, you know, you could do it live, Dave. You could do it live at the end of this.
Do it.
You could do it live at the end of this. You could say, for what? Here he is. Here we are. Hey, it's...
I will.
Then as soon as this is over, because here we are, right, Y2K, plus 13, the final Thursday of the year and the final Thursday of all time in 2013. That means roll call from or for or at, well, all three, the Bone Garden. And of course, we're going to get right to it as soon as our coveted theme ends. The artist D is here with me, of course. 7 years? Has it really been seven?
Really?
Oh boy, here we go. Take your lists out, everyone. Like everyone has a list. Like they're all sitting there with lists. They all made their own lists. Talking about Ice Cap to Ice Cap, Hamlet to City, Othello into every bordello and across the United States. Of course, that's part of it. The artist D is here with me.
You, Fancatello, the one, the only, the man of 2 hours.
Man of 2 hours. And of course, with me, the artist of eternity, the infinite artist, the artist of all time, the first and always artist. Let's not fool around. There are a lot of debts to cover, as everybody knows. We're not going to do any commercials, we're not going to do anything. We're not selling anything. We're going to try to get through every death this year. No, not every death. Every celebrated death of people. And stay with us because you're going to hear, I mean, definitely, people on the list, you're not only not going to remember they passed away, you might not know them at all. I mean, you never knew them. And well, we know them. And we're going to tell you about them and celebrate them here tonight. This is the roll call from the Bone Garden. Just a little quick. Just a little this here. So we move into it. I think you're going to start the January, aren't you? Hold on. Here we go. They're all gone. And they will not be forgotten. They will. All right. They will not be forgotten. They're the departed.
We love them dearly.
The dearly departed. The double D's are here with us. Hey, wait a second. We got triple D's.
We've got a lot of D's right now.
Yeah, the D, the departed, the dearly departed. And this is F and D. I love putting it that way. Hey, there's F and D. You, F and D, you.
I see we made it, you and I.
Oh, man. And you know, the other night it got close. Well, it felt that way. You never. I don't think you ever really know when it's coming. Have you ever been, let me ask you this personally before we go into January. I don't know if I've ever heard you speak about this. Have you ever been within, within, say, an hour of death or something?
Pretty damn close.
Were you?
Several times.
Well, there's a whole other show. It's going to take place in 2014. We're going to talk about, yes, okay, fine.
The F and D's near-death experience.
This is too. Here we go. We're going to start off in January, and we're going to interrupt one another. We're going to tell you all about these people and get going, and we're going to go right. We're going to make it this
fabulous
year, right?
We're going to make it fabulous.
Well, we know it's going to be, even if we didn't do it all, it would be fabulous. But here we go, right here on Cthulhu Chronicles with me and the artist D, F and N.
Starting all the way back in January, the 1st of January, 2013. Is that where we start?
We started the very first of January.
7 years, and I still don't know what we're doing.
New Year's Day.
I'm the first guy now.
New Year's Day. Who died New Year's Day?
Patti Page.
Patti Page.
Born pop singer. The Tennessee Waltz.
Yes.
Doggy in the Window. How much is it?
Yeah, I was just a kid, but I do remember How Much Is That Dog. I hated that song.
Really? Why? Yeah,
I don't. Even as a kid, it was like, oh man. It just reminded me of other little kids who wore shorts and walked around and were just like, you know, just weren't cool.
And notice I said it like Yoda.
Did you?
Doggy in the Window. How much is that? I don't know why I said that.
You know what pissed me off about that song?
What?
They never told you how much the doggy cost.
Never. The doggy was too much for anybody. Is that Ray in the audience?
Ray is in the back. Like, yeah. Did you hear him? You heard him?
Heard him.
Okay, right. There. If you hear it, he's not allowed here, he said. He says, okay, there you go. Patti Page starts off the parade of Passed On.
And then I was, this was one that I didn't know, the next one. Mm-hmm. Gerda Lerner. And I love her. She's like this feminist crazy person.
Oh.
And she's written amazing studies of women and histories of women. And apparently she died in January, on January 2nd.
You're saying you didn't know she died then?
I didn't know she died. Oh. I've been reading her for quite a while, and I didn't know she was dead.
Isn't that something? You're not reading the right dailies. Well, this always happens anyway. I forget, but there are a couple. I don't know her. I will now learn about her.
Exactly. 20, I must take notes.
She was 92. So we don't know. And let me tell everyone out there, of course, you know, if you listen to this in the past 7 years with me and Dee, and then beyond that, God knows how long, we'll tell you if we know how the person died.
Yes.
Because sometimes that becomes a matter of entertainment.
It becomes a sound clip of its own.
Yes, exactly. Who was Ewell Hauser?
I don't know. He was known for his gee whiz enthusiasm in interviews. Apparently a San Francisco television personality.
If anybody ever told me, if anyone came up to me and said, you know, you've got gee whiz enthusiasm, I would have said, well, watch it go right into your face. And I'd just punch him.
I'd want to kill myself.
Gee whiz enthusiasm. He was in the, and I don't know any of these TV series.
No.
He was in California's Gold, visiting Road Trip in downtown. This is another reason I want to tell everyone out there why the roll call from the Bone Garden is special. Because everywhere else you're going to hear the same names, you're not going to hear them here.
He was 67.
He was 67? Yeah.
Just hit myself in the head.
How?
I hope I don't die on the bone show.
No, you won't die. You won't die on the bone show. Ada Louise Huxtable. Also died. This is a big day, January 7th, huh?
Yeah, apparently.
She was an architecture critic. What a rotten building! Think about it. I'm an architecture critic.
Right. She didn't build them. She didn't design them. She just said they sucked.
Another old one, 91. Yeah, she hated the Chrysler Building. Never going in that place. Sorry, Ada. And to the Huxtable family, we send our condolences.
Deepest.
January 8th. I'm going by your list. I have a list that has it's just impossible. But if I find anything on it, you know, that's different or exciting.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, I will let you know.
These are just the highlights because I pulled the big list and then it's like, I don't know these people.
Yeah, there were so many. But every once in a while, we're going to pop up one, you know, real wacko.
Absolutely. So Jean Manford died January 8th. An elementary school teacher who walked alongside her son in a New York City gay pride parade in 1972, and she became the co-founder of PFLAG, Parents, Families, Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So she was apparently a big gay supportive personality.
Wow, I didn't know her. I didn't know her either.
92, I didn't know her either.
Either. I didn't either know her either. This is the, are we still on the 8th?
We're on the 8th, yes.
Oh, okay. Look at this. Look who I got. I got a couple of Percy White also. And we'll have, you know, like a side roll call here for those who don't. Percy White was 96. He's a British chemist. And he died. 96. Let's see if we can find any real Antonio Frasconi, Argentine-born American woodcut artist. He died. I'll just get a couple more in here.
We don't know how many people are missing his wood.
I don't. Otto Hornung was 92. He was a Czech philatelist? What is philatelist? What's a philatelist? You know? Oh, God, he's going
to
contribute. Hey, about Mike Brannan was only 57, and he died. Let's move on to what year? Where are we? The 11th. Let's go to the 11th.
The 11th was Aaron Swartz, and he was the co-founder of Reddit. And he became, I didn't know this until tonight, an internet folk hero for fighting to make online content free to the public. And he had I looked him up. He had a fascinating story.
Is there anything we should? Because some people have told me about Reddit, and I haven't gone there yet. And I don't know it, but
I don't know it either. And it looks great.
Reddit?
I haven't used it. But he was only 26 because he hanged himself. I believe he hanged himself. He committed suicide, for sure.
He did?
He did, and it was...
He hanged himself? Mm-hmm. How do you know that, Ray?
I'm on the same list you are.
Oh, he's got it.
That day.
Oh, well, you know, didn't I tell you this? Okay, go ahead. If you could contribute anything, yell from the back. No mic for you, though.
No mic for you.
Aaron Swartz committed suicide. Why on earth he was accused? Oh, this guy!
This guy, yes.
That guy.
But I thought Reddit, didn't he, wasn't there another site he's famous for? Not Reddit, he's famous for?
He broke into...
McAfee? Is this the McAfee guy?
No, it's not the McAfee
guy. No.
He broke into some sort of archive that is available for mostly students and college students. You need a subscription to it. And he went in and he downloaded like over 5 million articles on the MIT server. And I guess he was going to publish them to the public to make them available. But the FBI and MIT came down on him and were going to send him to prison. And it was like this big deal for doing this little thing that apparently he didn't even feel was that criminal. So unfortunately, he hanged himself just for that.
Wow.
And he could have, it was only like, he could have cut a deal and got like a year in prison or something. But apparently this was not something he was going to go to prison for.
Yeah, better one. He found a long-term solution to a short-term problem.
He sure did.
A year in prison, I'd rather spend eternity in the blackness of...
I'd rather be dead at 26, if he only knew.
Wow. I guess, he might have been, a lot of these new technology geniuses, they are suspect in a certain way, They know so much, and I think they're suspect in terms of their insanity and their sanity.
This is true. We're all pretty crazy.
How can anyone know so much and do so much and not be on the brink?
Right.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I want to mention a couple here on the day, just in case. We're still on the 11th. Is that all we have for the 11th on your list?
It's all for the 11th.
Okay, let me just mention. Where is that guy again? Ray found me a really great one. Yeah, who is he? Where is he? Where is he? Nugent?
He was 24.
He was 24 years old. Oh, here he is. Alemayehu Shumi. 24. Ethiopian long-distance runner who died in a traffic collision. Now, 24. Now, it doesn't say, but the long-distance runner, was the traffic other people?
Fred. Thomas Borgen, 25.
Now, let me make something straight here, Tom. I was going to be Tom, and now I'm getting you and Savino myself. Let me get something straight here. The younger they are, the funnier they are. That doesn't work, okay? So don't start laughing. At 24. He said, look at this one, 25.
No, because it was the
French
same thing.
French motorcycle race or traffic collision. So it probably just died in a traffic collision. I'm always amazed some of these, like Robert Key, 93, British writer, journalist, and broadcaster. How could we not have heard? I know we can't hear of everyone, but how do these people escape us totally?
I don't know. They must be those underground fellows that we just don't hear about.
There's a funny guy.
Elvis Presley's what? Oh, Elvis Presley's rhythm guitar player, John Wilkinson, also died on that day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If you look
going to the 12th.
The 12th, there's a really good one.
Okay, well, we didn't get to the 12th yet. What? How did you read? Are you a speed reader? Did you?
I'm going ahead.
This is only January right here. What?
Jean Cryer, 64. Luxembourgian poet.
Luxembourgian poet. Well, that guy I know, because those poems are my favorite.
And that's why I don't know him.
Those Luxembourg poems.
I'm glad that you found some younger people, because they are, unfortunately, they are the funnier ones. And I couldn't, and that was the one thing I, because there's always a theme for right. the year, and usually we have some very weird ones or some very, a lot of suicides. Last year, I think, was a lot of suicides.
Was it?
I couldn't find a lot. There were not a lot of people on this list that I got that killed themselves. They were very old, and there was a lot of scientists this year.
Oh, I remember the old. There was one year where everybody was so incredibly old. And, you know, I wish I could find what was my favorite. I know you posted that. It was great, the one about the 50-foot woman, I remember.
Yes, Yvette Vickers.
But the one that my all-time favorite will always be, and people tell me about this one too, the guy, the Japanese man who survived, who was in both cities when they dropped the bomb, and survived both of the atom bombs. Remember that guy?
I do remember that.
That was the utter best, utter absolute best. One man in the only two cities he lived. And what kind of luck do you have in the world anyway? He lived in Hiroshima, and he goes, I'm getting out of here, and he moves to Nagasaki. The mountain climber who died from fall. Okay, let's go. We got January here. Let's go.
On the 16th, we have Robert Citron, Orange County Treasurer, bad bets on exotic Wall Street investments. I don't know what kind of exotic Wall Street investments there were.
Another one.
But apparently he was in the largest municipal bankruptcy in the U.S.
history. And it doesn't say how much. And he lived to be 87. How come he didn't go to jail? Finish off January and we'll move on. Because
Pauline Friedman Phillips, January 16th. Dear Abby, the original Dear Abby.
Oh, yeah.
Is dead, yes. She was 94.
I didn't know that was her. I thought her name was Abigail Van Buren.
No. And her sister was Ann Landers.
But it wasn't. It was really something Phillips.
Right. Yeah. It was something Phillips. And now her daughter, Dear Abby's daughter, is writing for her column.
Oh, she's the Abby Dear.
She is now the Abby now, and she's a bit more feisty than her mother.
Ooh, well, you know, these are more feistier times, I think.
Indeed. Okay. Still on January 16th, a lot of people dead on the 16th.
Okay,
Gussie Moran, a tennis player who gained both international fame and notoriety by wearing short skirts and lace panties in the 49 Wimbledon tennis tournament. You missed her.
Well, how the hell is she? She was 89.
She was, and wearing lace panties to the very end, no doubt.
Wow, see that, and the year before I was born. See, I missed out on that one too. Go.
You see that? Yeah, Patty Andrews, January 30th.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, we know she's one of the Andrews sisters.
She is. And she was 90.
I thought, I forgot which one. I thought one of them looks exactly like my mother looked. I used to tease my mother all the time that she looked like one of the Andrews sisters. But anyway, Maxine, Patty, and Laverne. Oh yeah, okay. But I guess they're not. They're alive, what have you. Patty's gone. Go on.
Patty's gone. Balthazar Karab, an architect turned photographer, produced moody, polished images that captured the spirit of modern architecture.
Wow.
At 86. Apparently, I jumped around here. There was some more from January 16th. Go. André Cassagnes, more than half a century ago, the French electrician, created the mechanical drawing toy that would eventually be the first Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, the Etch-a-Sketch guy died. Yeah, okay.
Yes, the Etch-a-Sketch guy.
The Etch-a-Sketch guy.
Caleb Moore was the last one here. Millions watched as Caleb Moore, the snowmobile rider, 25 years old, did a backflip, and hurt himself quite badly and died from it.
Wow, snowmobile and no mobile anymore for him. Okay.
And his brother actually is also, his younger brother, does the same thing and continues to do the same thing. Snowmobile.
What do you mean, die?
That's why I had to
continues to crash on that darn thing.
Snowmobiling, not that. Yes.
Snowmobiling. I had died from, I guess you could die falling anywhere. I mean, you just fall.
You could.
Yeah.
But what a way to go.
Snowballing? Snowballing. I said, did you hear that Freudian
slip?
Yeah. I said, what a way to go. Snowballing? I meant snow diving. What is
mobiling.
It? Snow what? Mobiling.
Mobiling.
Yeah. Whew. Wow. Man, I'm telling you. Okay, where are we? That was the architect, the interest. Where am I? I'm up to January where? 16th?
I'm going into February.
Let's go into February, February 1st.
Ed Koch.
You know, I saw a picture of him recently, and I said, wow, he died. I forgot. Yeah. He died. And, yes, and the funny thing is, when he was alive, I thought he died. I didn't know he was alive anymore.
George Bush.
The former New York mayor.
Yes, and I was there when he was mayor. I think in the 70s. Yeah, Edward Koch. Ed Koch.
Then folks of
mine, do you know Ed Koch became a radio guy, you know, broadcaster.
He did.
Yeah.
And right around that same period of his life when he was a radio show host, author, and other things than political, he was the judge on the People's Court.
Oh, wait, really?
Yes, and I grew up with that. I think he was the first, I could be wrong, but I think when they brought it back, or it kind of got a new face or something, it was becoming popular again, and he was the judge at that time, because that's when I started watching and knowing of the People's Court.
Okay, wow. I might have seen it once or twice, but
he was pretty good.
I didn't grow up with that. Yeah, he would be. I would imagine him being there. Next.
S.E. May Washington Williams, February 4th, was an L.A. school teacher, unburdened herself of the secret that she, a black woman, was the daughter of Senator Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, that was quite a shock.
Was it?
Well, I mean, then, you know, Strom Thurmond was this, I'm talented, right? You know, Robert, don't you know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and she makes it now, she had never found out. If we had never found out, then she wouldn't be on the list.
Exactly. We would not have known. She would have been a retired L.A. school teacher.
Yeah, and it would just been, you know, she would just fallen into the, you know, the normal annals of the roll call from whatever. Who else now? Where are we? Fifth? Who?
Fifth? Stuart Freeborn.
Oh, well, we know him.
He was. He was a movie-making legend for his makeup work. Well, yeah, you would especially know. Remember many makeup shows.
Yes, I did, yeah.
At the 2001 Space Odyssey, he also created Yoda, Chewbacca, and the Ewoks.
He was 98. He did those very famous, and that, I think, broke some ground for the guy whose name I forgot, who's a very famous guy. Stan Winston? Is that his name? Because, you know, the apes, the monkeys in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was, man, and people went like, wow, those really look like strange monkey human monkeys.
I love those damn apes.
Yeah, that was a great opening, but anyway. And then on Valentine's Day,
Richard Collins, a screenwriter during the McCarthy era who was blacklisted for several years before he cooperated with the Communist Hunting House Un-American Activities Committee. Always love that. Collins went on to a 3-decade career in television as a writer and producer of shows such as Bonanza and Matlock.
People like you and I mean, if we had been around and of somewhat age during those times, you know that you and I, if we had anywhere near the same consciousness as we have, we would have been blacklisted people, you know.
Oh yeah, we would have been very hunted by the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Oh wow, yeah, we would have definitely been right in there. I'm telling you, I don't know how we would have been selling pencils on the corner or using. There's a wonderful movie called The Front. Have you ever seen The Front?
No.
Go check this out. Check it out on your Netflix or your MovieFlix or wherever
you
get it.
Is there anything like The Back?
No. This is the opposite. Just the opposite. The Front is a wonderful movie. It's not by Woody Allen, but Woody Allen is in it. Zero Mostel is in it. It's about a guy who is a beard for other guys who are blacklisted. They can't work. So they use his name, and he's not a writer. He's like a bookie, and they make him, he sells the scripts so they could make some money. It's a wonderful film. It's a Martin Ritt film. If you get a chance to see it, it's a great little movie called The Front. And we definitely would have been one of those people. Was this the 14th we were looking at here?
It was the 14th.
Okay, yes. I'm looking. Let me look real quickly and find something maybe that's there are a lot of old people on the youngest person to die on the list in the 15th was Walt Easley, football player. We don't know. I don't know him. Goldie Harvey, Nigerian R&B pop singer.
You're wrong.
What? Who's younger than
Tim
that?
Tim Dog.
Tim Dog is 46.
Reva.
No, I said 29. Goldie Harvey.
What about Reva Steenkamp?
Reva Steenkamp.
South African model
was shot. There's an assassination we didn't even hear about. Isn't that something? Oh, my God. Reva, no, nobody, Steenkamp. This sounds like one of the characters in a story of mine. Reva Steenkamp. Okay. All right. 17th? Your list, we go to the 17th.
Mindy McCready.
No
one here knows Mindy McCready.
Country singer.
She was, well, she shot herself on her front porch. There's a country song in itself.
That of a gunshot on the front porch.
Actually, I have nothing here that references her work, because she was, like, in the early 90s, apparently very famous in country singing. I knew her in the early 2000s. For her country songs, none of them which I can remember right now.
Quickly there's a little story, a little note about what happened.
Yes, on February 17th, neighbors called the sheriff's office and reported gunshots. She was found dead on her porch, the same place where her former boyfriend and father of her youngest son also shot himself 1 month prior. She was 37. Her death was from a gunshot wound, obviously. She was also, she also fatally shot her pet dog. Take it all with you, honey.
Yeah.
Her two children remain in foster care and were not at home at the time of her death.
That's a good thing. The kids weren't there, huh?
Yeah. She's had a very, like, ever since her last spike of fame in the early 2000s, she just went kind of downhill. She started dating Dean Cain, the Superman actor.
And
ever since then, she had, like, sex tapes and overdoses and drugs.
Wow.
And she just went off the rocker.
And she chose the same porch.
Yes. It sounded like, and I read up on this, it sounded like the boyfriend was like her soulmate, and then he shot himself.
Well, he apparently didn't think it was too important to continue with her in his life.
Exactly.
So he did it. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's really sad. That's a sad thing anyway. Okay, well, sorry, Mindy. We will be humming your tunes for the rest of our lives, for sure.
If we can remember that.
That's one thing about, Taylor Swift. Everyone will always remember, always be able to sing her songs because they're all the same. Anyway. Go ahead.
Robert Richardson, February 19th, he shared a Nobel Prize for a key discovery in experimental physics. Now it doesn't tell us who he shared it with or what he discovered.
Well, wait until that fellow dies.
Exactly.
But we don't know if they don't mention it. But isn't this fun? Isn't this? Can you imagine Mr. Richardson sitting there going, the 1 year I have a key discovery, there's another key discovery, and I got to share the goddamn thing.
Exactly.
What a shame. Oh, here, we know this guy, right? February
25th. Mr. Dr. C. Everett Koop, using his post as Surgeon General.
Yeah, he was a weird-looking guy. I don't know how the hell he got. I just have no idea. And on the 25th, let's see if I have any really weird ones. On the American musician, no, the Allman Brothers, Dan Toler died on the 25th. I didn't know about him. Here's C. Everett Koop. Who else? Stuart Dirk Fisher, American jazz musician. Herb Epp, Canadian politician. Why do I say that? Because I seem the name Epp seems to come to it. American jurist and politician William Duffy. These are not very interesting, so I don't know why I'm saying them.
See?
Okay, we'll move on here. Finnish architect. Here's Heikin Siren. Heikki?
I like it.
94. Heikki Siren, Finnish architect. Now, what they did is they're just like, imagine that one. It says, are you done yet? Yes, I am Finnish architect. Are you done? No, I'm finished. Are you done? No, I'm finished. I'm sorry.
Or when they accidentally did the grand opening, and it's like, no, I didn't say I was finished. I said I was
That's
finished.
Right. I said I was finished. I'm like, get those scissors out of here. Go on. Where are we? I don't know. Coop?
Roy Brown.
February
24th, early 50s, Brown was picked to design the Ford Edsel.
Oh.
In Bryce Carter.
He went down to the Edsel, of course, which in itself... I don't know why that has come to represent the world's greatest failure of a car. I remember when it came out, and man, was it Everybody was loving this thing, and I don't know what happened to the Edsel. That must be, it's about to be a whole show in that too, the Edsel. And from then, when they stopped making it, and the word Edsel, the name Edsel became a noun for failure. And they would say, like, yeah, he did another Edsel TV series. You know? My father, you picked up my report card. He said, what's with these Edsel grades, you know? everything was Edsel. And there's Roy Brown. He was 96. Imagine the jokes he had, fellas.
I know.
And then?
The inventor of the failure is dead. Goodness. Van Cliburn, February 27th. Cliburn, a young Texan, won the first international Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow in 58 and was given a hero's welcome back to the U.S.
Now, did you edit this, the Van Cliburn thing? Because people are supposed to know, if they don't know the name Van Cliburn, they don't know from this. Because what is the international Tchaikovsky competition? What is it?
I don't know. I didn't edit this, no.
Well, you're supposed to know? He was one of the most famous piano players of all time. He doesn't say one thing about the piano here. Isn't that something? Is this a piano teacher? I mean, he was an unbelievable, yeah, Van Cliburn. And his name actually became a noun for people who really were, what do you think you are? Get in on the piano. What do you think you are, Van Cliburn? Who do you think you are? Yeah, you're Van Cliburn. You play like an Edsel. Let's move on to March. Hey, we're doing pretty well. It's only 9:30. Yeah. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, of course. This fantastic beat and rhythm is the rhythm of the artist D and I, Frank Cotolo here on Cotolo Chronicles. This is the roll call with the Bone Garden for 2013. I want to mention this one thing. People will die, celebrities will die from now on, too.
So they won't ever get a mention.
Yeah, and for some reason they always fall through the edges. I think one year we're going to have to start this, you know, on the day after.
Exactly.
The day after we do it. And then
and if you're listening to us right now, you're alive.
Yes, that's right. Thank God.
You made it.
That's right. This is live. And hopefully, if you're listening to it in one of the other ways you can listen to it, by downloading it at juicedtalk.com or by going to any of the stations that are playing it, hopefully we are still somewhere, if not together talking about death, living, alive.
If you are listening to this on podcast from Juice Talk Radio, congratulations, you're still alive.
Yes, yes. And
hopefully we still are too.
Yes, and we don't ever want to see you on this list. So don't, and by the way, I do want to mention because he's not going to be on the list, but I do want to mention personally.
All right.
Yeah, I got to mention personally that we lost Rick. Yes. We lost Rick this year. Don't you remember Rick? You were on his show.
You should tell the people who
I
Rick
should tell.
Is.
I'll tell him who Rick is. You remember Rick Ray?
Did you say his last name?
Rick Ray?
Rick Ray?
No, Rick Ray. No, do you remember Rick Ray? He goes, Rick Ray? What is this? You've been doing Abbott and Costello with me all night here.
Who's
Rick
on
Ray?
First?
Rick.
Hey.
Huh?
I'm on first. Sorry, go ahead.
He's on first. Rick.
Busby?
Yeah, Rick Busby. I blanked out for a second. I knew him, seeing his face, and I forgot. Rick. Yes, we lost Rick Busby this year, and he of course lives on through doing the very famous License to Skill commercial, he was young and too young. But I'll tell you something about Rick Busby. Aside from being a fighter, because I met him he was in very bad shape, and that was years before he died. So he really stuck in there. So he just had one of those breaks, bad breaks that happened to young people. I got sick, and then he made it through there. But I just want to mention him because he's not going to wind up on the list. And he's always here, as they say, in spirit. Let's move on to March.
March. Yes, March 1st was Bonnie Franklin. She was an accomplished stage performer before being trapped in the 1970s to portray Anne Romano, a divorced working mother with two teen daughters, in Norman Lear's groundbreaking sitcom, One Day at a Time. Oh, right, yeah. I used to watch this.
I was going to say, you know Bonnie. Sure, you know Bonnie, because she knew. And also on that show was the future, at that time, the future wife of Van Halen. What was her name? What is her name?
Was this the one with Valerie Bertinelli?
Yes, Valerie Bertinelli. And the mother and the like her mother drug addict slut. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Not at all.
Michelle. Oh, her name wasn't Michelle. What was her name?
I'm drawing a blank for this one.
Well, you know, the mamas and the papas. Michelle. Who was the lady? Michelle. What's wrong with my names here? I get so many names in my head. The mamas and the papas. Her daughter, Michelle's daughter, was on that.
Okay.
And she was the other daughter. You don't remember the other daughter?
I vaguely remember the other daughter.
Okay, well, she's alive and living, so...
I can remember the stupid theme song, though.
You do?
Yes, because it was all, one day at a time, nah, you know, they did that.
One day at a time. I don't remember it as well as you.
Yeah, okay. I think it just stuck because I was young. I don't know.
How old were you when was that on? 70s?
Well, this was probably in the 70s.
Yes, it was. Mid-70s.
I was seeing reruns in the 80s.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, we'll move on then. Sorry, Bonnie. I thought Bonnie was so much younger. It's probably because, you know what it is? When you don't see these performers for a while, because they're not very visible, and they don't do a lot of stuff on television or what have you, and then you hear they died and they were like 69, 70 years old, you go, what? Because you don't have no reference point to their age.
Well, I don't think 69 is old.
No. But what I mean is, yeah, but she probably looked a lot different than she did 20 years before that.
Yes,
right?
And she was one of those, because some of them, you know, well, just like modern-day normal people, in obituaries, sometimes they put that, you know, 1920 photo of themselves up there. And I, leafing through all of this stuff, I did not see one old picture of Bonnie Franklin. It was all the one day at a time photo.
Yeah, so I don't know what she did the rest of those years. She might have just invested or something, because she did not, unless she did summer stock, a lot of them go into summer stock and do other, you know, they wind up in hotels and Holiday Inns doing, reboots of the Odd Couple and stupid things. Yeah. So maybe that's what she did, but she certainly didn't do any. She didn't have much of a movie career, and I don't think she was in one more series ever.
I don't think so. Nothing famous, nothing popular.
So maybe there were no pictures of her after that.
She retired from public life.
Mm.
I want to be alone. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, everybody knows March 5th. Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan president.
Yeah, he's a pretty unlikable guy. Most people don't like him. I don't know him, so I don't like. But you know what the hell. I don't know. I don't know what to say about him. I thought he was older than 58. He died of cancer.
Me too.
I thought he was older than that. Okay. Oh, did he really die? Alvin Lee died?
Alvin Lee is dead.
Wow. I did not. There was a time when in the music scene of those days when guys who were in, you know, local bands and stuff, like, boy, did they just revere this guy. It's like, man, if I could play like Alvin Lee. No, I was not one of them, because I never really looked up to anyone. But they were unbelievable. He was, yes, his searing rendition of I'm Going Home, featuring the Fleet-Fingered. Wait a second, what was the other one? Did he have a gee-whiz personality? The Fleet-Fingered gee-whiz personality Alvin Lee. 68. Well, that's pretty. I don't know how he died. As a matter of fact, I forgot about it altogether. Ah, go on.
Harry Reams in March 19th. Who could not forget Harry Reams?
Who could not forget?
Who could not forget?
Who could not remember, you mean?
I cannot remember.
Harry Reams actually plays a very important part in the cultural, in terms of free speech and everything.
People wouldn't know. Go ahead.
They actually almost put him in prison.
Yes.
In prison for being in the movie. I forgot his name now. Boy, I'm doing terrible on names tonight.
You are.
Gerald Damiano, the guy who made the movie.
Right.
You know, was walking around, and I remember this too, because I lived in New York and I was in Brooklyn. And in Brooklyn, because I saw Deep Throat when I was working in Manhattan, and so I was witness to the to the surge of people and the talk of it. But him, it was Brooklyn. It was the federal courtroom in Brooklyn where him and Linda Lovelace and the whole and that where they almost put him away. It was in Brooklyn. It was where he went on trial.
Yes, and the movie was Deep Throat, as you said, just for those who were catching on 1972. And if they haven't seen it, they really should. It was a historical
thing. Go ahead.
A historical marker in history.
Yeah, especially because he was.
A historical marker in history.
And, you know, historical Jesus. History. In our historical history.
Yes. And I looked him up. He was actually, he converted to some religion. And married somebody, and he was a real estate broker in New York City.
He had to get work. He was
odd. Go ahead.
He was considered, believe it or not, in the movie Grease 2. Mm-hmm. They wanted to use him because he got a number of offers afterwards to do regular films, okay? Not do pornographic films, because of his popularity and his name, and he tried to get more work, and he was going to be the coach. This is a horrible movie, but I did see it once. Grease 2?
Yes, it is.
It's a horrible movie. He was going to be the coach who was eventually played by Sid Caesar.
In right, that. Yeah.
They wanted him to do it, and then the people in the studio, they said, yeah, we really don't want to take a chance. So that was that blemish. It turned out to be a blemish. But people like Warren Beatty, Jack Nicholson, big names came to his side.
Definitely, and he was just in, I don't know how recently, but within the last few years, he was in the documentary, I guess it was, about Deep Throat. It was Inside Deep Throat, and he was on
there. I saw that.
It was a very good piece, and they also just did, or released, a new Lovelace movie, and I don't know what it was called, Lovelace, I think that was the name of it, but that's on Netflix right now. I guess it didn't do so well. It was okay, it wasn't bad. Pretty much to the tune of the storyline.
Yeah. I'll never know. I don't want to get hung up on this particular subject, but you'll never know exactly what happened to her. She turned around twice,
exactly.
and then she had written this book, because I remember when I went to England, I was with someone, I was reading the book, and the original book she came out, that must have been like 82 or something, or whatever, when I was on my way to England, and they were telling me how about this, but I didn't read the book, but how horrible she was treated. And I don't get it. I don't know. There's a cloudy thing about Linda Lovelace and how she reported it. And,
exactly.
I just don't know. I don't know at all. But anyway, she died eventually.
Yeah, she had cancer, I think.
Yeah, but she died in a car accident, didn't she?
She had a car accident.
She'd been on the list. We had her.
We had her.
She was here on the list.
We've had Linda Lovelace.
We've had Linda. Okay.
And by the way,
yes?
For being a porn star, because, you know, there are certain things I immediately Google when I see them on the list.
Yeah.
For being a porn star, you would not believe how hard it is to find this guy naked. Impossible, almost.
Harry,
yeah.
Wow.
I was doing the research, and, like, it took several pages before I saw one picture.
Really? I guess he wasn't. That wasn't a double in Deep Throat, was it?
No,
that was him.
It was him. It was him.
And was he in? I think he was also. Was he in The Devil and Miss Jones also? Wasn't he in? He was in a couple more, I believe.
He was, and one of them after that was extremely popular too.
What?
I don't remember.
Well, maybe it was The Devil and Miss Jones, or it could have been. I don't think he was in the one with Marilyn Chambers, Behind the Green Door.
I don't think so.
I don't know how they have that. You see, how are we going to get together this Harry Reams Film Festival if we don't even know where Harry? Poor Harry. What a way to go. I mean, maybe one day, you know, you do a, that would be a whole, what would be a show? No, I'm not believe I'm going to say this. What would be a show of dead porn, just dead porn stars? Would that be the roll call from the Boner Garden? I don't know. I can't. But you know, it's amazing that people like him and Lovelace and Marilyn Chambers, who had connections with mainstream media and stuff, they make the list. But
I've got it.
What?
It's
what?
Roll call from the Boner Garden, a different kind of stiff.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Let's just. You're listening to The Roll Call. This is me, Frank Cotolo, and I'm the artist, Dean, in the 2013 Roll Call from the Boga. What a perfect place to say you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. Okay, fine. Let's move on. And no jokes about this guy's first name now that we've said that. Next. Oh, no.
It's a woman, actually.
Oh, it's a woman. And I read it. I read it phonetically. I was wrong, right?
No, that's how I saw it, too. And I'm so glad, because in March 20th, Rize Stevens, which is spelled Rise Stevens.
Yeah, Rize.
And the first couple of ones I saw of this, I just thought it was Rize Stevens. And then one of them had it phonetically pronounced. And I thought, oh, I'm glad that. Glad we caught that.
Good for you.
But she was apparently an American mezzo-soprano celebrated for her earthly interpretation of Carmen. And she was 99. She was almost...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So she was also with Bing Crosby and Nelson Eddy, so she was around for a long time.
Long time, yes.
Okay, we're in March, and we're at the end of March here. We're moving along pretty well, don't you think?
Oh, I think so.
3 in 1 hour? That's not going to work. Come on, let's move.
We always think we're doing so well.
I know. Go!
March 23rd, Joe Weider populi, or Weider, I'm not sure, popularized bodybuilding worldwide, creating a multi-million-dollar empire of magazines and other such things. He discovered Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, the guy who just, Joe Weider. Isn't it funny that his name is Weider? You know what I mean? And these are muscle builders, and exactly. Their bodies are wide, it's like that? What? He died of a heart ailment. He wasn't a muscle builder. He was just someone who did muscle. Was he a muscle builder also?
He
found the International Federation of Bodybuilders. But
and he did do that for a while.
Oh, he did. Okay, he was Weider.
He was Weider.
Wiser. Weider, but no wiser. Older, but no Weider. That's March 28th. You got one.
Richard Griffiths.
I don't know.
He played Harry Potter's wizard-fearing uncle, which I thought was really, that just, of all the things they could have picked out, they had to say that one. If I had the list of things here, you would remember him from something. He was more of that guy that, oh, you knew him if you saw him. And he was in a lot of stuff for many years, like 10 to 15 years back. Mm. But of course, all the obituaries will immediately say he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he sounds familiar. I wouldn't know him from Harry Potter. I would know him from something else because I'm not Harry Potter friendly. Yeah,
me neither.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he was 65.
Okay, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Go ahead. Fay Kanan. I was going to say Kay Fanon. Kay Fanon is one of those names here.
Yeah, Kanan, he shared the Best Original Screenplay Oscar in Teacher's Pet in '58. Was the second female, it was a woman, second female president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. She was 95.
Okay, and at the end of March, we lost
Bill Ramone, March 30th.
Yeah.
The veteran record producer, one of the most revered figures in the music business, and worked closely with many fabulous people like Sinatra, Bennett, Streisand, and Billy Joel.
And had no connection to the Ramones. A group, a landmark.
Surprise, surprise. Yes, we should let people know that, because yes, we probably assume.
A lot of people would do that. Let's move on to April. We begin April with a man, I thought he'd never die. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not saying I thought he'd never die in April, but he died. I mean, I thought he would. I mean, he'd gotten through so many. Who am I talking about? Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
I loved him later.
Later?
I grew up with him when he was doing his whole thing with the movie ratings.
With Siskel?
Siskel. But he was kind of, I just thought he was rude and dry.
I thought he was a much better writer than he was a broadcaster, because I still go back, and there are movies that I go, well, I don't know something about this movie. I think, let's see what Roger Ebert said about it. And I read his reviews, which are still available somewhere. I know I see them. And he had very, very deep insight into the movies, stories, and, you know, themes and stuff. I mean, he was the real thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And TV, of course, you know, you don't.
Right. And there was just something about after he started battling cancer and he had the surgeries, I think it was a thyroid-based issue. Mm. But have you seen the photos of him after?
Oh, I saw the last. Oh, I mean, yes, I do.
And I mean this with, like, complete respect and honesty, but it was like he turned into this happy cartoon character.
Yeah, very
And it was a good thing, I think, because before he was all dry and boring, and then he was kind of, he got this personality about him, like probably a second lease on life there, in a way. He became a prolific blogger, mm-hmm. and he just went through this whole other vein of stuff, and I thought he was far more fabulous and interesting in that part of his life.
Both of them, Siskel died of brain cancer earlier, and then Ebert, before he had the surgeries, was with that other guy, Richard Rope. Is that his name? I think he's still on, Richard Rope. Is that his name? Roper? Richard Roper, I think
it was Roper. Yeah, Roper and Ebert, I think.
And he was only 70, but wow. And then, okay, go on, here we go.
Annette Funicello, April 8th.
Years and years and years, she was so sick. She was so sick. I knew her through her husband, Glenn Holt, who was a horse trainer. And when in California, and Annette was many, many times in the evening, would we see Annette and Glenn. Well, Glenn was working, but Annette was there many, many times. She's a delightful woman, but very difficult to go up and talk to. She was sick for so long.
Yes, which so is amazing, because that's how I remember her. Just knowing of her many years ago, that she was always seemed to be going through something, and she just died, which is crazy to think of.
I didn't think she was going to make it to 70. She was just...
One of the original 24 Musketeers. Mouseketeers. just for those who do
The Musketeers. Mouseketeers. Yeah. I always wondered if there is such a thing as singular sclerosis. And is it not, it's not as bad? Because multiple sclerosis means you have many sclerosi, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And many sclerosi shall kill you.
Yeah. So is there such a thing as singular? They just don't say it? I got singular. I'm lucky. I got singular sclerosis.
We'll have to write that down and look it up.
Okay. Sorry, Annette. We will always remember Annette. A lot of people liked her. This is the next one.
The Iron Lady herself, Margaret Thatcher.
The Iron Lady. And, you know, if I was her and while alive and they called me that, I would not really take it that flattering.
I think she would friggin' love it.
Yeah, I know, right.
Okay. She seemed like that sort of bitch, quite frankly. And Meryl Streep portrayed her in The Iron Lady, a movie last year that did not do quite so fabulously.
That's right.
I liked it, though.
Did you say I didn't see it?
I love everything Meryl Streep touches. Like,
did you see this? It just opened. This August Osage County thing?
That's out.
She's in a new one with what's her name? With the pretty woman. Oh. Julia. She's
Julia?
With Julia.
Yeah.
God, I'm doing terrible with names. Here at Cotolo Chronicles, we are calling from the roll call from the Bone Guard, Margaret Thatcher, April 8th, and now we move on to April 10th of 2013.
Robert Edwards, a British biologist, helped pioneer in vitro fertilization, eventually giving an infertile British couple their daughter and millions of more children worldwide.
Well, he might have done that, but I knew the first woman who ever had I don't know if it was in vitro, but I knew the first, I knew the man who was married to the woman who had the first test tube baby. And here's what I want to say about this. In vitro fertilization, is that in vitro? I thought it was like EN and vitro. I thought it was one word. It's in vitro fertilization?
That's what was in here, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. Then was that the internet? Because I'm in vitro. Well, I mean, it could be wrong. In vitro. It's what's in? I don't get that. We have to look that one up. Everyone, look it up. Send it to us here at Cotolo Chronicles. Tell us more about in vitro. And now if it's in Italian, is it in vitro fertilization? Okay, I'm sorry. Couldn't help it. Go on.
April 11th, Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, yeah.
Influential comedians of the 20th century.
Beyond a doubt.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Yeah, what a thing to put. But because I guess he's more noted for that. He wasn't in a lot of movies. He was in a lot of television shows. But certainly the best way to see him is if you can get any videos or go to YouTube and get any of his stand-ups, which are just or listen to his albums. I think you could still hear some of those on YouTube. Or just see, boy, was he, you know, there would be no Robin Williams. For those of you out there who love Robin Williams, there would be no Robin Williams were it not for, and the first time I saw Robin Williams, and I didn't know And he wasn't even that famous. He was just he was at the Comedy Store and doing his thing. And the first time I saw him, I went, wow. And then later on said, boy, you've really soaked up everything Jonathan Winters ever. And he knew, because I've always been a neo-postmodernist. I went, wow, I know where this guy has came from. Yeah. Sure, he did know it. But I want everyone out there to know that there would be no Robin Williams were it not for that. So go look up Jonathan Winters, who died, who was 87. That's not bad.
87, not bad. No, not at all.
April
11th, Maria Talchief, one of the first stars of U.S. ballet, grew up on an Oklahoman Indian reservation, married to choreographer George Balashin. She brought global recognition to American dance when the ballet world was dominated by Russian stars. She was 88.
A lot of old ones. Hey, look at this guy's name.
Frank Banks.
That was his name? That was Lumpy on Leave It to Beaver? God, God, what a doofus. I mean, I don't know him personally.
The character, though.
Yeah.
Doofus. The
dim-witted foil without a gee whiz personality. and Leave It to Beaver.
And then he found himself typecast. See? Imagine that.
Yeah, right. See, it happens. He was 71. Okay, successful financial broker. Boy, Abby, you know, it's amazing having him go through life, anybody who recognizes him. So say, you're that stupid guy on that car, you know. Go ahead.
Exactly. Al Newhart, the newspaper mogul, was regarded as a latter-day Citizen Kane in 1982. His $1 billion gamble called USA Today earned derision, but it endured to become the nation's largest circulation newspaper. 89.
Yeah. He was a son of a bitch, from what I heard.
Yeah. April 19th.
Is Francois?
Jacob. French biologist. See, another scientist.
Yeah, right.
French biologist shared the 65 Nobel Prize. Oh, he shared one, too.
Yeah, what's going on with these guys?
For medicine with colleagues, they identified messenger RNA, which carries the blueprint for a protein called cellular DNA to the ribosome.
How do people find these things? Did he find it? Was he looking for it?
Gotta be looking.
I don't know. And then Richie Havens died at the end of April.
22nd of April, a veteran folk singer, frenetic guitar strumming and impassioned vocals made him one of the defining voices of the Faces of Woodstock.
I'll tell you something, and those of you out there who might not know this, he was a frenetic guitar player, indeed, but he also also could not play the guitar. He tuned his guitar in a certain manner that allowed him to just use one finger and maybe two. Yes, and maybe two. If you ever watch him on videos and stuff, watch him. He's not using all his fingers like everyone else. He did not know how to play the guitar unless it was tuned a certain way, and that's what he did. And it's not, I'm not saying it's bad or it's against the law or anything, but, you know, that's the way it was. They say that Irving Berlin could not play the piano in anything but the key of C, and he gave us God Bless America and a number of other better songs. So, you know, what does it matter? But anyway,
it doesn't matter how you do it as long as you did it.
As long as it gets done. And then this guy.
George Jones.
Yeah.
Everybody knows George Jones, right?
Yeah. I never met him when I was down in Nashville, and he was never one of my favorites, but that's no reason for us to keep him off the list. Because he was, he was just that quintessential country guy I didn't like. You know, there was a
template. He was that country guy.
And you knew that when they turned the mics off, you knew what he said, you know what he was talking about, you know where it was at, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, they weren't, a lot of people who are not liberal entertainers. Okay, and then?
Dina Durbin on April 20th, singing starlet with the bubbly personality, gee whiz, of a jewel-tone voice with the teen sensation of Universal Studios. Enormously popular movies, widely credited with saving the studio from bankruptcy during the Depression. She was 91.
Deanna Durbin ends April here at the, as we go to the top of the hour. We have one more hour left, and we're going to push it as much as we can. Here in the roll call for the Bone Garden of 2013 with the artist D, who is on every Sunday.
Usually. On 4 Culture Radio.
On 4 Culture Radio. When is this season over? What are you doing? Seasons confuse
me. Anytime now.
Those seasons confuse me how you do it.
We're winding down, and we're putting out a show after show every once in a while, but they're every so often.
So when is the hiatus? Is that coming up then?
Definitely coming up. Okay. Possibly starting in the new year.
Okay, so there. Meantime, you can go to Juice Talk Radio, juicetalk.com, and there is Juice Talk Radio, but you go to juicetalk.com, and then let's tell them the Four Coach Hall Magazine. That number Absolutely. 10 should be coming out any day now, shouldn't
it? It's coming out the 2nd of January,
oh boy.
2014. You're in it. We're all in it.
Love being
it's
in
fabulous.
It. Love being in that, Meg. I'm so happy to have been invited because it makes me do my best of all the junk I do all year. It culminates of all month or 2 months or whatever. It culminates to these fabulous stories that I'm really having a lot of fun putting together, and they're exclusive. You don't see them anywhere else but in Four Culture, which is the cutting edge digital magazine of its time, and it's just going to get better. So go over there,
it
subscribe.
It really is. And this next issue is just as amazingly jam-packed. I'm shocked and amazed. Issue 10, fourculture.com. And also we have our Four Culture Radio now, which is really kicking to dust right now.
Really?
Literally. Mm. And we've got a bunch of new songs. Yeah, there's new songs, but there's also new shows. We've got, I think, like 4 DJs now.
Wow.
I'm quite excited with shows of their own, and these people are very fabulous and famous, and then there's my show that's on there as well.
Another empire in the making, my friends, so get on over there.
And you can hear all the Fabulous D shows at thefabulousdshow.com, of course.
Oh, that's right. They're over there, too. Or you can download them at the other...
And if they're really hungry for Bone Garden, they can get all of our Bone Gardens at thefabulousdshow.com.
Are you
they're
kidding?
All
they're all
there.
They're all there?
All 7 are there.
God bless you. I'm going to have to go back. I know I have them somewhere, but that's great. Go back, everyone. Get over there to... where is it? It's at theartistd.com, right?
It's at thefabulousdshow.com.
At thefabulousdshow.com. That's different than the... Oh, yeah, that's different than theartistd.com. Yeah. There's two of them.
But you can get it all from theartistd.com. But don't confuse yourselves.
Yes, don't do that.
I know they get so easily.
Yeah, I know, I do. That's for sure. We're in March. Oh, no, we're April? We're in March? No,
May.
We're in May. We're in May. We're moving right along here. Let's get going. Let's get through May. We'll be done. Okay, go ahead. May.
Ray Harryhausen.
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 Yeah, Ray Harryhausen. I thought this would be like a little bit past your...
It is.
Beyond, you know, Ray Harryhausen, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Before there was CGI, there was only Ray Harryhausen. And there were a couple of people who did what Ray Harryhausen did, which was live model animation. He was the protege of a man named Willis O'Brien, who did King Kong, and that, the original King Kong, which of course just broke everybody's back and then eyes and open. Nobody thought that could be done. And then Ray Harryhausen did with Willis O'Brien, Mighty Joe Young, which is still out there, the original one. These are not CGIs. And then went on to do all those Sinbad movies, the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, the Golden Voyage of Sinbad, Sinbad's Magic Vest, and Sinbad's Enlarged Pecs. I mean, all of these things, he did the Golden Age of the Tiger, Tiger Sinbad. He also did It, the movies like It, they came, It came from, and they were, and It yes. came from beneath the sea. They were there, and wonderful.
So he like just blasted that stop motion animation stuff into the future.
Absolutely, and all these guys now who do this stuff, even guys like Spielberg, Lucas, and Cameron, you mentioned these people who do CGIs now, and people who have innovated to do the kind of different kinds of animation, and so when you see dinosaurs and whatever and stuff like that, it all goes back to Ray Harryhausen. Again, that's a neo-postmodern thing. So if there were be none of these guys, if it wasn't for him, and he was 92. Yes, he was 92. Then
ancient.
And then 9 days later, I didn't count that. I was wrong.
Seven. A few days later. On May 13th, the very well-known, I would hope, Joyce Brothers.
Doctor to you.
Dr. Joyce Brothers, yes. TV psychologist and many other things, but talking about borderline. I like how it says borderline taboo subjects such as sexual fulfillment and infidelity.
Because at that time, there was, she talked about a lot of things that you know, nobody was talking about in public, and she would not, they wouldn't let her on a lot of television shows because she might say something at one point.
Yes. I used to get her confused with Dr. Ruth because they kind of, you know, did the same thing.
Dr. Ruth was older, but she came later. Didn't she die?
No, I don't think she did.
Wow, I thought she was older. Maybe she looked older.
She definitely looks older. Mm-hmm. Always.
And then
she was just this little woman.
And then she was on the show of the man who died in the next couple of days.
Ed Shaughnessy?
Yeah.
May 24th, one of the most famous drummers in jazz. During his 3 decades on Doc Severance's Tonight Show.
That's right. I remember him. I used to see him all the time when I worked at NBC. And the Tonight Show was, whenever we were taping Midnight Special, the Tonight Show was taping across, way down the hall somewhere in another soundstage. And Ed was there and Doc was there. And lots of time, Doc, Ed, and many other people, including Johnny, met in a special room. To get themselves pumped up for that show. And I'll leave it at that, because I'm not going to do a kiss and tell book. Let us just say that they had a number of cocktails that got them going.
And among other things, I'm sure.
Some of those drum rolls were quicker than they were. Anyway, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Greeley, May 29th, self-described loud-mouthed Irish priest.
Wait a second, is there any other kind?
I don't think so.
God, I don't
noted
know.
Sociologist, prolific writer, vocal critic. I've never heard of him. He was a best-selling novelist whose works made readers blush and church superiors fume. He was 85, and I had noted that he suffered skull fractures in a fall in 08 when his clothing got caught on the door of a taxi.
Oh, God, the
and
shame!
He remained in poor health ever since. So basically, that killed him.
Yeah. Isn't that, what a kick in the head.
What a way.
That is a terrible way to die.
My frickin' priest robe got stuck in that damn taxi.
He might have lived another year had he not.
Exactly. He was 85.
April, May, June. Here we go into the June. The June deaths of 2013 here in the roll call from At With Which, The Bone Garden with me and the artist D.
Esther Williams on June 6th.
I'm sure glad it doesn't say drowned. I am so
bathing suit, beauty, stardom, 1940s aqua musical.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been bad.
She became an enormous hit. What does it say? She became an enormous hit with them. Yes, she was with all these. I wonder how late it was. I don't even know how she became. You know, lots of times, a lot of these people who were other. Like Johnny Weissmuller, who became Tarzan, he was an Olympic champion, and that, you know, I don't know where she became, how she became so popular as a swimmer if she wasn't an Olympic winner or something.
Mm.
I mean, you don't just go to Hollywood and go, hey, I'm a great swimmer, and this will make some great movies, and you got a good body, you got to jump in the pool. I mean, yeah, how does that happen?
Well, you know, it's early enough. Maybe it was just one of those random occurrences. Someone saw her swimming and said, you know what?
We have to go to the next one and stop for a second, just for a second, while we're doing it. You say this one, and I'll tell you a quick and remarkable story.
Oh, I'm excited now because one of my favorites, Richard Ramirez.
Wait a second, one of your favorites?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. You're not going to believe.
You know I love psychos and analyzing crazy people. Serial killer known as the Night Stalker terrorized L.A., with a string of gruesome nighttime killings that generated widespread fear in 84 and 85. He was 53, died of complications secondary to B-cell lymphoma in California.
Ramirez had been on death row for more than 23 years. They never put him on. Let me tell you something.
He's been awaiting execution.
This is documented, and anyone who wants to go into the look into it can look into it. But when they were looking for the Night Stalker, I was living in L.A., 1984, 19, around there, there were a number of people who were on the list as suspects of being the Night Stalker. I am not proud to say that I am one of them. I swear to Christ. So, you know, so I'm glad to hear, you're the only person I know, Dee, who had said, you know, I love this guy and you know me, so you're not going to hold this against me.
No, not at all.
But
no.
on a bus to your state, to Nevada, I was the bus stopped. I'll tell you this very quickly. The bus stopped, and a bunch of cops got on, and I said, "Hey, cops!" I was with my friend. I went. We were on our way to Vegas. I said, "Hey, look, this is going to be fun. Let's see what happens. There's a couple of cops here, right?" And they came right up to me, and they said, "Could you please come with us?" And I went, "What?" I was like, "What? What are you talking about? Come with you? I'm a guy from the. Please come with us." So they took me outside of the bus and stood me there and said, one of the people in the bus. Now that morning in the LA Times or whatever, there was a sketch of a police sketch of who might be the Night Stalker. Someone on the bus was reading that and reported me, said, "He's there. He's on the bus." Because the sketch looked like me. They took me outside and I went, "Look, I'm a guy. I live in LA." And the funny thing is they said, "Where are you from?" "I'm from LA." I mean, I had all the possibilities, you know?
Right.
And they said, but they kind of know. They said, "Well, I tell you," they said, "you seem to be a lead and your name will have to be placed on the suspects
list,
and we might get in touch with you again." Of course, they didn't. They found Richard Ramirez. But isn't that something? A serial killer and my connection to him. He's dead. I'm alive. So there. There's my thank you very much for that. I told you there'd be stories connected to this. I forgot he died this year. And there he is, the Night Stalker, not the phony Night Stalker.
And now we know just a little bit more about Frank Cotullo.
That's right. Go on, let's get June out of here.
Michael Hastings, June 18th. Aggressive, iconoclastic journalist reporting
exposed stuff.
The vagaries of war, exposed stuff. He did. And in Afghanistan. And I looked him up because he sounded familiar. He was, well, of course, conspiracy theories out the ass about how he died. But most people think he was just having a manic episode and raced his car down a road, hit a pole at very high speeds. But, of course, you know, people say he was on to the next big story.
33. Yeah, well, yeah, and that always makes good for, you know, controversy. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Unless he left a book behind somewhere. Jerome Carl, June 6th. Brooklyn-born scientist. Molecule mapping work. Oh, yeah, you know, when I lived in Brooklyn, a lot of kids, something I never could understand. Some kids couldn't come out to play because they were too busy doing their molecule mapping work. And he was 94, so it wasn't one of him. Go on.
I can't come out right now. I'm mapping my last molecule.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on. I'm going to play stickball. Go on.
Kenneth Wilson, June 15th, earned a Nobel Prize for breakthrough research. See, another scientist.
Yeah.
Explained how factors like temperature and pressure lead to sudden transformations of matter, such as boiling water shift from liquid to vapor.
Amazing that he found that out and none of us actually knew that before. Go on!
Gary David Goldberg, June 22nd, rapidly shot success in TV producing the hit sitcom Family Ties and other shows of such brand of New York humor. His film works include Dad with Jack Lemmon and the 2005 romantic comedy Must Love Dogs.
Gone but not forgotten. June 23rd.
Bobby Blue Bland.
Yeah, did you know him?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, he was he's one of these rock and roll guys. Matter of fact, he was one of those artists, you know. He had a couple of hits here and there, but mostly he was known by other guys who said, "Yeah, I really like Bobby Blue Bland." And I don't know why there's a blue in there. And then June, this was somewhat of a surprise, June 19th.
James Gandolfini. It happened, it was quite a surprise.
And then we looked at him and said, yeah, he was. And then they reported what he had for dinner that night. And then he must have had a horrible diet. He was overweight. And of course, what we don't know about him is we don't know the history of his family. So for all we know, that was programmed to happen anyway.
Exactly. But yeah, that's what I was looking that up and like, yeah, he was on vacation in Italy.
Only
he was eating.
Only 51. I thought he was older also. Yeah. I'm getting at the point in my life where it's tough for me to understand that I'm older than some people.
It's very disturbing, let me tell you.
James Engelbart, let's get through July. We're moving along. Come on.
Douglas Engelbart was envisioning the power of interconnected computers to accelerate the pursuit of knowledge and solve the world's increasingly complex problems, he co-created the first version of the computer mouse.
Oh.
His work inspired generations of scientists. He was 88.
88, and so he was, he's like 20, he's much older than the guys who did the, okay. This goes to show you how far back that whole computer thing went before they made it, before those guys, the two guys, the Jobs and Hobbs and Jobs, before they made it popular. Go ahead. Corey Monteith was only, 31?
31, yes. He overdosed heroin and fentanyl, alcohol. Mm. While in Canada, of course, we all knew him, some of you out there knew him for his singing in the TV series Glee. I've never seen.
Me neither.
Moving
I like the accidentally overdosed on heroin. You know, when people overdose, it's not a choice of suicide, is it?
No.
You don't hear things like, I'm going to take so much heroin, now I'm going, I'm out of here. They don't do that. They overdose means they don't mean to kill themselves.
And you know, I've got to say, any time throughout my superstar career, back in the day, when I was doing certain things, or even alcohol, I never thought that if I died from this, it would be an accident. I know what I'm doing, I don't intend to, but just not intending to does not make it an accident. It's not an accident.
That's what I hear from people who have taken other substances. I wouldn't know myself, but okay.
Especially heroin and alcohol. If I was combining the two, I could be like, I might die, and I hope people don't say it was an accident.
I wonder why they didn't just, heroin is this, it's kind of a powdery substance. Why didn't they just put it in and dissolve it in the alcohol? Why didn't they use needles? Couldn't you do that? Couldn't you just dissolve it in the alcohol and drink it down? Yes,
absolutely.
Okay. Helen Thomas died next. She was not on drugs, although many people thought.
That was Noah.
She was probably on a lot of medication, the very famous... Right, yeah. Very famous old reporter who was always in the front row of 10 different presidents during...
during Bush 2.
She wasn't there?
She asked him a very serious question.
And they moved her.
And he put her in the back row. She was like stuck back there for almost the rest of the time.
Wow, poor
Helen. And I don't think they ever called on her again during that presidency.
92. She looked it. She looked 92 when she was 30, I think.
Oh yeah.
Virginia Johnson. Who is she? Aside from someone with a very common name.
In 1957, well, you should know because she's the other half of Masters and Johnson.
Oh, it's her.
It's Virginia Johnson.
She teamed
up with the middle-aged gynecologist William Masters in the research collaboration, and of course would permanently eliminate the taboo subject of sex at the time. Their landmark books include Human Sexual Response and Human Sexual Inadequacy, which I recommend people putting on their wish lists.
Yeah. Why couldn't I ever find someone like that? Maybe it's not too late.
Okay. Which actually, I never saw her before.
Did you
until
see her?
This list.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's
Virginia really?
Johnson. Yeah, I wasn't.
Well, I didn't mean like that in terms of physical.
Oh.
Right, I mean, how could you do a sexual study? Well, they did it with other people. Well, of course, we all did it with other people. That's not the point. The point.
Well, most of us.
Oh, crap. I'll just move on.
I know some people out there
who
other people.
Okay. Eileen Brennan was only, she was 80. I never thought, see, this is another one. 80? She was 80? They're either older than I thought or younger.
I love her.
Yeah.
I loved her. Love her in Private Benjamin.
I didn't remember her in Private Benjamin.
I loved her in Clue. She was Mrs. Peacock.
Oh, yeah, in the parlor with the hammer.
Yeah. Awesome. My favorite quote from her, our lives are in danger, you beatnik.
I like that. I remember that one. J.J. Cale?
July 26th, a self-taught guitarist from Oklahoma.
Guy. Yeah, he wrote a couple of songs. Now, is that the cocaine? Did he write, is that cocaine run all around my head? That one?
I believe so.
Yeah, the one that was, I thought that was the other guy, Dave Van Ronk, but I thought he wrote
that. After Midnight.
Probably is. Yeah, he was After Midnight is, I guess, what he'll be known for. And then there's another one, Karen Black.
In August,
She was she was hot when she was younger. She Karen Black was one of those especially hot ones.
Definitely. A distinctive appearance built a film resume that included prostitutes, murderers, waitresses, transsexuals, and thieves.
Who
some
were
of my favorite people.
Yes, among our among our circle of friends, for sure.
She was 74.
Amazing we never ran into her, isn't it?
I know.
Okay, we're going. We're still August. We're still August. Let's move here. Move.
August 10th, Edie Gorm, which was the other half of Stephen Edie.
Edie Gourmet is gone. Yeah, she was gone. Known for, of course, Blame It on the Bossa Nova, one of her only hits by herself. Blame It on the Bossa Nova. That, you know, so remember that song? No, you don't.
Okay. I do.
You do. August 20th. Now we're landing. We're heading towards September, friends.
Marianne McPartland. A pianist, composer, and host of Piano Jazz on NPR.
The national, the pretentious radio.
Exactly. She was one of the genre's most visible female instrumentalists.
Really? Oh, wow. She wasn't so visible to me.
No, not me either.
Okay, move on. Sorry, Marion. We'll remember you. Now we'll remember you. Yeah, Bruce
Murray. Now, August 29th, the former director of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, was forceful advocate for studying images of the surfaces of other planets.
With Carl Sagan? He was with Carl Sagan? He was a friend of Carl Sagan?
Yeah, she studied. Bruce Murray.
Yeah. Procurement of pictures not only began a play to play a key role, but what? So then he was one of those guys.
Right.
We don't know how he died. We don't know how a lot of these people died, by the way. We haven't been mentioning a lot of them.
But they were so goddamn old that we can assume.
Yeah. I thought David Frost would live to be older, but he didn't. He died on the last day of August.
Yes, on August 31st at 74. And I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing how it says he would be best known, I guess, for that Richard Nixon interview, but he wasn't. He was originally on a landmark program called TW, it was known to everybody who loved it as TW3. That was the week that was. Yes. And it was a satirical program on Friday that would, it was kind of like way before, you know, kind of like, it was way before, you know, Saturday Night Live and all those others. And they did comical sketches. I think it came from England. That's why, yeah, TW3 and David Frost. And I don't know what else he did. I know his brother Jack has become a landmark of. No, he's not. I don't know what that time is. Oh, Cal Worthington died in September.
I think the first car salesman on our list.
Did you live? Was he there? Is he still running stuff when you lived in L.A., Cal Worthington?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah, he was. He used to do all these. Hi, I'm Cal Worthington, and my dog Spot. He used to say, and then of course he had a bear or a giraffe, and he always called it his dog Spot, and he had a big cowboy hat, and he sold used cars. And it was a local California thing. Cal Worthington. Worthington Ford! And now he's gone. He was 92.
Dead.
Next.
Ray Dolby, the pioneer of the noise-reducing and sound surround sound technology made with the inventor's name. Dolby was world famous. Now you know.
For years, people thought Dolby meant something technical. They didn't know it was named after a man. And there was, you got a Dolby. This was a word. His name became the noun for excellence in sound. And they said, you got a Dolby system? What, you got Dolby? I got Dolby on this. Don't worry about it. It's not going to clean. It's going to destroy it. No, I got Dolby. Oh, you got Dolby. It's like, hey, what's a Dolby? Nobody ever asked, what's a Dolby? I did. What's a Dolby? They never told me. Because they didn't know.
No. And now it is just a technical term.
Yes, it is. September 17th.
Aligi Toyota?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Credited with developing the Toyota Car Company's efficient, low-defect manufacturing processes, he helped spearhead Toyota's aggressive push into the U.S. auto market. So he is to thank if you love your Toyota today.
Now, the funny thing about this fellow, he was 100 years old, by the way. The funny thing about him is that, but for one letter, his name was spelled the same way as the car.
Right.
Toyota worked for Toyota. And what are the chances of that?
It's eerie.
September 19th.
Hiroshi Yamauchi?
Yeah, what would that be? Yamauchi.
The gruff and uncompromising businessman autocratically transformed Nintendo from a purveyor of playing cards to a gaming gargantuan. So he pretty much pioneered and produced Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda. He was 88, 85, actually.
Yeah, and you would think that a guy like that, you'd think that would have been created by somebody a lot younger.
Exactly, yeah. All those guys were, like, really old. Well, old for that sort of thing.
And
I think they were young, like, today's, like, the computer game programming people. They're kind of young.
Yeah, yeah. But they're all working off of the tenets that these fellows, these pioneers, have established.
Exactly.
David Hubble? I don't know.
September 22nd.
Is David Hubble?
David the Hubble telescope?
No, he's not having anything to do with the telescopes, has he? No. But eyes, he has something to do with eyes.
Him and his partner mapped the neural system that allows us to see.
He mapped the neural system that allows us to see. So he found all the different pieces of the of the eye. Is that it? He's what?
Why can't he be a South African ukulele?
He wasn't a South African ukulele. Maybe he was. Was he also a South African? He could have been.
Not that I'm aware of, but that would be fabulous.
I don't, why? Because there's a joke here somewhere?
No, there isn't. It's just a point.
Oh, okay. I don't know then. I mean, that's an abstract question. Why can't he be a South African ukulele player?
Why can't any of us be?
Yeah, why can't, what are you on anyway? Why aren't you sharing?
And why aren't you sharing it with
me? Why aren't you sharing it with me? Hubble and his research partner, Torsten N. Weisel, mapped, you already said that. Your Nobel Prize? They both won the Nobel Prize. They shared another share.
We can thank Hubble and Weisel.
The treatment of newborns and eye disorders.
And they didn't play ukuleles together.
No, but
although
I wonder.
Maybe they did behind closed doors.
But I wonder, is it a coincidence? That one just went by me and hit me on the rebound. Is it possible that he is related, or since he has something to do with vision, and of course the Hubble, that the telescope is named after him? We don't know.
I mean, it could be something. Maybe it was his cousin. Or brother.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to look that up sometime. We'll have to write that down.
Write it down quick and then find out what it is here. Okay, Hubble. September, the end of September, we lost
A.C. Lyles, the producer of such westerns as Young Fury and Waco.
Waco, not Wacko.
Exactly. You see, that shows someone's age when they say Young Fury and Wacko.
Yeah.
At least we know that much. A walking repository of Hollywood history, he was the last link on the lot to the studio's golden era and such stars as Gary Cooper, Bing Crosby, and Dorothy L'Amour.
All
who was 95.
And they have all, of course, been on past lists.
Indeed,
because they lived them. Most of them lived long. Gary Cooper didn't live that long. But anyway, September ended with the death of
Marcella Hazan, September 29th, revered in the food world and beloved by home cooks who found her recipes to be both doable and delicious. Oh, yeah.
Doable and delicious. I'm not saying anything. I am writing down that phrase. Doable and delicious. Okay, got it.
My next book, Doable and Delicious.
Exactly.
Barn Busters next week.
Okay.
Julia Child called her my mentor in all things Italian.
And in all things Italian. That's...
how many years before, because we're getting into October, we're getting down there, but how many years before I came along for Bone Garden, did you do Bone Garden?
I did Bone Garden years, I'm going to have to look that up, but it was many years before.
You know, I think one of the first shows of Cotolo Chronicles that I became acquainted with you was Bone Garden. And you were with some other guy.
Yes, Larry was. Yes, Larry did it with me. Yes.
And I was listening, and it was really good. You and him were really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, this is a really good quality show. I could never do this.
Wow, you were thinking that then, huh? Isn't that so?
But that was, you know, that must have been 10 years.
Was that before you were on my show? I mean, before we actually met?
Yeah, before we
met.
Well,
okay.
I think we knew of each other, but I wasn't on yet.
Okay.
That was way back. No, that was before probably a year or so before
okay.
the first interview.
Okay, then that's quite a while ago then, by now.
Yeah.
By this
you've
point.
Been, and I could say you've been around a long time, but so have I, and it's getting kind
yes,
of scary.
It is. It is getting scary. Not that we want to, believe me, we don't want to stop that.
No.
We're not saying that, okay? What we're saying yeah. is that we are. I never thought I would be a veteran of alternative broadcasting, and you never did either.
Because when you've been doing something for, I mean, it must be like 10 years that I've known of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of freaky.
I might have done Bone Garden alone originally. I don't know. And I don't know even remember where I got the phrase or where it came along or what have you. I don't have a history behind that. But like most things, I would, everything's a Molotov memory to me anyway. So I,
yes. You'll have to look that up for next year.
Yes, I will. I will look that up. And we'll,
that'll be as long as it takes Frank to look that up.
Because we'll have some kind of anniversary. This is Cthulhu Chronicles. We're in our 24th year here on the Internet. Here on the Internet, 24th year. The artist D has grown up with us right here. Here on alternative radio broadcasting. The artist D, of course, is available on her show on Sundays for Culture Radio. You can get it up there and every other place. And go to theartistd.com, find out all about it for yourself.
Right. Okay. And you can see all of my fabulous videos.
Yes, a lot of fascinating. So if you can't get enough, just listening, those little tidbits. Of stuff that go on in the blog and the For Culture. When are you doing any other blogs anywhere else still? Aren't you doing some columns elsewhere?
I do. I do a column for TGF, Tutsi
right.
Forum,
okay.
which is a transgender-related, but I am the most anti-transgender-related person there. So that's always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so go, and I've been doing a lot more videos at theartistd.com. So if you're not tired of listening, you can watch too.
Yes, and concise. It's not as long, but
no.
So you
it's
get
like mini fabulous D shows.
Mini fabulous.
It's the way I'd like. I wish life were like that. You know, five minutes to the point. You get it. Goodbye.
It would be. It would be wonderful. I say as I continue to do 2-hour shows every week. Tom Clancy, let's go to October. It looks like we're going to make it.
We're going to make it.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy died in October, the 1st of October. Of course, he was the author that rocketed to fame for The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, among many others.
17 yeah.
bestsellers. He was only 66.
That's something. I don't know. Do we know how he died? Did he have cancer or something?
I think it was something expected,
but
I don't remember.
Okay. He did a lot of work. That's a big body of work at 66, at least to have been published and be popular. I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine what my body of work my body of work, but be just as big or bigger, but, you know, but anyway. October 3rd?
Chuck Smith, the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement, brought an old-school Christian message to a generation of youths in the counterculture, the Calvary Chapel phenomenon, which now includes more than 1,000 churches nationwide, began in 1965. This is the guy last year, or he predicted, or no, this is a different guy.
Oh, he predicted the end of the world?
In 1978, he predicted that the world would end by 1981.
Hmm.
And it didn't.
I mean, how can we trust these guys after they're wrong about such a monumental thing? You know?
Which was, yeah, and then I was reading in there, and it said, you know, years later, in the 90s, he said, well, you know, it was a calculated guess from his reading. Which is amazing that you could get away with that. You know, if you said that about something else, you'd be, like, laughed out of the room.
There's so much else that these people follow him for their own edification that I guess they he's got some give.
Exactly.
Yeah, let him get away with it. I just, all right. Okay, Chuck. I got news for really Chuck. This 1,000 churches nationwide. There's a, I wouldn't, I would, if this was a company and you had to invest in it, I wouldn't. Not in this day and age. I don't think there's going to be. I think little by little this group is going. Bye bye.
Indeed. And his world ended in 2013.
Yeah.
Surprise.
So, yeah. So if you were right, come back and tell us about it. Will you? Go
not
on.
Three times. Yeah.
Oh, let's, okay, let's see who can pronounce this name correctly.
I'm going to go with Vo Nyan Giap.
Nyan, that's good. Is it Nyan?
Vo Nguyen.
What? Nguyen? What do you
no.
get?
Vo Nguyen.
Nguyen? Which he says Nguyen, you say what? Nguyen? I think Nguyen.
Nguyen.
Right?
Nguyen.
Vo Nguyen.
Gap
Vo
or Giap?
Vo Giap.
Giap?
See, there's a lot of people Giap. With that name out in California.
Nguyen? Oh, that's right.
It's like a Nguyen or something.
Because yeah. That's Japanese origin, then, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. The Nagai. Yeah. Okay.
you are
no, I do remember. I remember that. Is Nagayan?
Exactly.
Japanese origin.
No, not Japanese.
And I said Japanese oranges. Norian? Orion?
No, Nguyen. No.
Okay. Who is this fellow? Or is a fellow?
That was kind of like basically his middle name. We might as well just call him Vogie App. Unpretentious. It was an unpretentious communist.
An unpretentious communist. That's cute.
General mastermind. The defeat of the French and American forces became known as one of the 20th century's military geniuses, and he was 102.
Wow, how could I not know this fellow's? You know, that's why Nguyen looks very familiar. But how would I not know him? A mastermind of the defeat of the French. And there's a wonderful movie out there called, oh boy, now I don't remember, something American, The Quiet American, that's it. Whoa, wow, what a great movie, with Brandon Fraser and Michael Caine. Have you ever seen this? Matter of fact, it's not a Clancy book, it was a book by one of those other guys.
I think I have. That duo sounds very...
Yeah, it's about crazy. Vietnam when the French were there, before we really came in. And with large amounts of soldiers, when the French were being squeezed out. And so I'm sure somebody must have played, or this name must have been bantered about during that movie. It's a wonderful movie, but I forget, because it's not really about that. That's the scenario where Michael Caine is an American journalist. See if you remember this. He's an American journalist, and he writes about what's happening in Southeast Asia for some newspaper. And he meets a Brandon Fraser who falls in love with Michael Caine's living with a Vietnamese girl, although he's married in America. Oh, boy, it's a sweet movie and a bittersweet movie, I should say. Bittersweet story, I should say. It's a bittersweet movie. It's a bittersweet story.
It's all bittersweet.
Yeah. So that's him. Anyway, well, that's something. He was 102, huh? Whoa. Goes to show you, huh? Yeah.
Exactly.
You pretentious... Communists out there, start unpretensing yourself so that you can live longer. Go ahead.
Exactly. Scott Carpenter, October 10th, a former Navy pilot, was the second American to orbit the Earth, one of seven original Project Mercury astronauts. Briefly feared lost after orbiting Earth three times and plunging into the Atlantic from his target. He was 88.
And he'll always be like the second guy. Who's the, you know, could anyone name the second guy who stepped on the moon? See, nobody, he'll always be the second guy who does something amazing. You're always forgotten.
Exactly.
And Scott was after John Glenn, because John Glenn got all the glory for that. Right. And Scott just didn't.
Lou Reed was the last of October for me. October 27th.
Yes.
And, of course, the Velvet Underground.
I will always have a problem with Lou Reed. I mean, I'm sorry he died. I know he worked. He worked for a long time.
Yes.
On the road and there were a lot of people who loved him. For I just don't know. Lou Reed. And I don't want to put the guy down because he's, you know, he was dead and everything. But I just thought it was a little bit too much fanfare. I didn't see Lou Reed as a revolutionary pop music figure.
I gotta agree with you. I didn't either. And when I heard of it and saw the outpouring.
Right.
I had to go and look into him further and further, and I still couldn't find what they saw.
And to this day, I don't know one of his songs from another. I joked earlier about Taylor Swift. Lou Reed was 10 times worse. I don't know what the heck. I can't hum one song. I mean, he's not master of melody? No. Master of what? Master of construction and pop music? No. I have no idea how Lou Reed, but I give him, regardless of how I feel about him, which doesn't matter anyway, but you gotta give this guy credit for existing as Lou Reed, a musician, his entire life.
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't, like, have to get a post office job or anything. It was like Lou Reed. And he probably walked around going, hey, they like me. I'll just keep doing this, you know.
Exactly. Whew. Probably. Yeah. Most people who are like that, they're like, I don't know why people like me, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know how he did it. And I don't know. Okay. Oh, we're into November. Here we go, kids.
November.
40 Minutes of Cotolo Chronicles. And we are, this could be a landmark show that we're not going to rush up until the final moments of this roll call, the Bone Garden, on Y2K Plus 13 here at Cotolo Chronicles with the Artist D on 4Culture Radio every Sunday and available at Juice Talk and available at the Artist D. Come in, the Fabulous D Show. And how many others do you have?
Four Culture Presents is my new show on 4Culture Radio.
Yeah, so yeah, well, tell us a little bit. You do, well, let's go through this and then we'll I know we're going to have left over and you can tell me about the new show.
Okay, so you want to do November?
November, we got Sid Field. Okay, his 1979 book screenplay became a bestseller that I don't remember, but today remembers the is the Bible of script. Oh, it's Sid Field! Oh, it's how we spelled his name. Oh, my God, when I was in Hollywood, Sid Field. This was the book. Everyone read this book. They don't have the title of it here. But let me tell you something. Oh, yes, they called it screenplay, but I think there was a book before this. Anyway, nobody knew the title of this. It's Sid Field. Read Sid Field. Get the Sid Field book. That's the steal. If you did not follow, and that's what was funny about Sid Field, because he, funny, I mean, was that everybody went to the same source to learn the specific elements on how to write a screenplay so that people would read it. This is what happens, okay? You had to write your screenplay a certain way so that people would read it, and you had to get it past the first 15 pages, because in Hollywood, nobody reads a script more. They don't get where you're going by 15 pages, they immediately throw it out. Nobody reads an entire screenplay unless... And Sid Field, oh, my God, he... because I kept thinking of Lejos. There's another guy named Lejos Egri, E-G-R-I, and he wrote two wonderful, The Art of Dramatic Writing and The Art of Whatever. These were great. I thought they were great books, way greater than Sid Field. But Sid Field caught on to that commercial group, you know. So, I do know him, and I can't imagine, right, including Judd Apatow. Forget about it. Everyone read him. And he was only 77. I thought he died a long time ago. Doris Lessing. Lessing was best known for The Golden Notebook, a chronicle of the multiple and maddening contradictory roles women have. Bad sentence, but there it is. Lessing helped define early feminism. Did you know her?
I actually did not. Oddly enough, from all of my feminist studies.
And I already forgot the other one you mentioned that you liked.
Gerda Lerner.
Wow, and you knew her, but she was a 90. Yeah. This one was 94. How did you not know her?
I don't know. I must have missed her.
Okay. Walt Disney's daughter died. I didn't hear this, and I didn't even know he had a daughter.
Me neither, until this very moment. Although she seemed to have done something. She helped ensure the architect, Frank Gehry's cutting-edge design for Disney Hall. Whatever that is.
Disney Hall.
She did something somewhere with someone. Disney related.
This strong relationship she had with the LA Philharmonic, it doesn't say. What does that mean? Was she always on the bus helping the boys out or what? I mean, what does that mean? She had a strong relationship with the LA Philharmonic. What? And she was an honorary director of the orchestra. Well, okay, Diane, sorry. You had a, here's what I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that you didn't benefit from the same freezing technique that keeps your dad alive, apparently. Why didn't they freeze her? Frederick Sanger?
November 19th, yes.
95, he had to do a DNA sequencing. So he said, maybe before he got involved in research on DNA, it was AND. He sequenced it. He went, here's the problem. The problem is you got it wrong. The D comes first, the N second, and the A. DNA, unlike F and D, the F and D. That F and D DNA is driving me nuts. Move on. Frederik Sanger. Gone.
Yes, Fred Kavli, November 21st. Norwegian immigrant who got rich from a business he founded in Van Nuys that makes electronic sensors used in aviation and other fields. He gave millions of dollars to scientific institutions and researchers in addition to several nonprofits. He was 86.
Okay. All right.
Whatever that was.
Wanda Coleman is dead. 67 only. She was a native of Watts, which is one time arguably one of the worst neighborhoods in Los Angeles. She was an unofficial poet laureate of Watts.
Great.
Coleman produced French. I remember being in a meeting once, and they were talking. But this is a stupid story. Nobody knows what I'm going to talk about. They were talking about getting a cheap version of telephones for businesses. It used to be called the Watts line. Watts. And everyone was real serious about this, and I stood up at one point and I said, well, why on earth are we going to be calling people in that neighborhood? Which, of course, broke the ice a lot. But anyway, that's another joke. Wanda Coleman, sorry, Wanda. Look at this, L.A. poetry scene. So she's kind of a local
yes,
gal.
Yes.
Chico Hamilton, we remember him. He's the
Yes, L.A.-born drummer, helped forge the California sound dubbed cool jazz. In 1950s and launched the careers of a wealth of jazz artists, both as a band leader and an educator. Landmark, his mid-50s quintet consisted of Jim Hall, Carson Smith, Buddy Collette, Fred Katz. He was 92.
I wonder if Fred Katz had pajamas. Anyway. it was a gang. Chico Hamilton, whose brothers Groucho Hamilton and Harpo Hamilton, of course, were also very funny. Okay. Paul Walker?
Yes, I'm sure you heard.
Oh, that guy. You know, I still don't know him. I swear. I'm sorry and everything, and he's young, but
yes.
I didn't know any. I haven't been a Fast and Furious fan. I've been a Fast and Furious fan, per se, but not... Proper name, Fast and Furious.
Right.
So I didn't know the guy at all. I had no idea.
I didn't either. Me neither. Yeah. I had no idea. I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie. I've never seen him in a movie. And I must say, now, you've already heard me say that, you know, 69 is not old, and it's true, but he was 40. And when he died, everyone was saying, oh, God, so young, you know, so tragic. And then I saw he was 40. And it's like, well, okay, that is young. That is a little too young to die. But he wasn't 27.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say.
Well, how old was James Dean, who was a massively more revered and will always be?
I think he was in his 30s.
Was he that old? Okay. And that's even younger. He was even younger.
But still younger, yeah. But I mean, 40, you have done something. Not that I want to die when I'm 40. I don't want to die when I'm 69.
Right.
But... you know,
this kid was in a major franchise. This kid was making some big time money, you know. Anyway.
At least you did something. It's because it's like, you know, when you're 20 and you die, even if you're a famous superstar, it's still kind of sad because you're still young. But 40, you're somewhere. You're somewhere.
He wasn't driving either. That's a
he pissman. Wasn't.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. All the Fast and Furious commentary about, you know, him going out fast and furiously, but he wasn't driving.
What's it? James Dean was driving, and so was the famous comedian. Who's the famous comedian, big guy, who used to scream? I forgot it. How could I forget his name? Wow. He was driving. He died in a car crash, too. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me tonight?
I don't know.
I know
that guy.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Anyway, the people who were driving fast and died can blame no one else, but this poor guy wasn't. Okay.
But yes, we will. We're very sorry. We will miss you.
I don't know this guy, although he was a pioneer of televangelism. I thought I knew all these guys.
Paul Crouch in November 30th.
Found.
He was a telebroadcaster.
Found Trinity Broadcasting. I know the TBN. I know that. I thought it was Turner Broadcasting. No, that's Trinity. A broadcast empire.
Oh. I like how it says his lavish lifestyle sparked controversy. Imagine that. A televangelist
with a lavish
lifestyle.
Wow. Okay. Do we even have to mention in December's first one? Because I think this one has been, this one's really taken.
This is a list of its own. Yes, yeah. Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Everyone was expecting him. And today, yeah. He's been sick for a long time anyway. He walked free as a septuagenarian. That's the most amazing thing about that guy to me, was not anything except the fact that his life really got started when he was in his 70s. We're talking about people in their 40s, right?
Right. And that gives, that's doesn't amazing. That give us all so much hope? It could all just start when we're 70.
Yeah, right, no comment. Hey, this was a heck of a week too, in December, because Tom Laughlin died. He almost went under the radar when he
almost.
Died.
Yes,
Tom from those Billy Jack movies.
Yes,
and that was I never was crazy about those movies either, but they were largely they were very popular. What is this? He quietly promotes he promoted a message of peace when he's not throwing bad guys through a glass plate window. Yeah, right. Billy Jack. Well, then the thing about Billy Jack also as a character was that he was a Native American, I think, and that brought up that whole thing.
Right.
And then same week.
Joan Fontaine, the coolly beautiful 1940s actress who won her first Academy Award in the Alfred Hitchcock film Suspicion. She was also became well known for her lifetime feud with her famous older sister, Olivia de Havilland. She was 96. Yeah, she was in two Hitchcocks, Rebecca and Suspicion.
Yeah, Suspicion was...
She was the only actress to win an Academy Award in a Hitchcock film.
And they are the only two sisters ever to win Academy Awards.
Yes.
Because Olivia won for something else. There was a funny, Olivia said something very funny when her sister died. It had to do with, I think she'd be jealous if I died first or something. They used to tell, I don't know, Lenny. It was something funny. And then, Pete went.
Yep. Peter O'Toole, December 14th. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Lawrence of Arabia.
Can't believe that 8 times he was nominated and I can't believe he didn't win any of those.
It's crazy. It was a really good movie.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. He was well liked and everything. Apparently, there must have been some skeletons in his closet. December 15th, look at this, right? I'm 52 in 8 minutes. Look at this. This is great.
Harold Camping.
I don't know.
The Oakland based radio preacher. Another preacher.
But oh, this guy.
Yeah. This is the guy, yes, the California preacher who used his radio ministry and thousands of billboards to broadcast the end of the world. And then gave up.
Over and over and over again he did. Over and over and over again. This time I'll be right. What? I don't know.
And now he's dead.
Ray Price. This is probably before your time, Ray Price, right?
Yes, this was.
Yeah. He was he was a musician and a popular musician, and he did that over and ever. So, when I saw the picture of John Eisenhower, President Eisenhower's son, who was 91. I was like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I was born when Truman was president, in the waning end of Truman. And then, so Eisenhower was there for 8 years. So, of course, I remember him when I was growing up as, you know, that's my model as an early president. This is not the guy you want to actually have. You want to know how things turned around. You had to be alive during the Eisenhower administration to realize the impact of John Kennedy being elected. You know, that was like that's how it was so amazing. Go back and look at Eisenhower. Listen to Eisenhower. Look at this guy. You want to know what happened. Wow.
I went to his farm once.
Because out here, it's out here. Yes, it's in Pennsylvania.
As a child, and I can tell you it was one of the most boring moments of my entire childhood.
Right? Oh, my. He forged a reputation as a military historian. Historian? I don't know.
That's going to be me when I grow up.
Historian. Here's the last one you have on the list, with moments to spare.
I know. Mikhail Kalashnikov, the arms designer Lieutenant General. He was credited by the Soviet Union with creating the AK-47.
Oh, yes! I saw this guy recently. I saw pictures of the little documentary there. This guy.
He's fabulous.
Who would have known if he hadn't died? I wonder how many people walked around and knew that the AK... And you know what what bothered me about that, about the little piece I saw when he died, the little obituary they did? What does that mean, AK? What does that mean? Advanced killing?
I should be able to tell you that.
Advanced killer? I mean, what is killing machine? What is it? Why is it an AK-47? And did he fail 46 times before?
46.
All right, what is it?
Well, this is the AK-46. It's just not up to standards.
Standards? It just can't make it. It's a failure. And then suddenly
he's going to try one more time.
He got it right on the 47th time or what? What is it? What does that mean? I guess we can look it up. I just didn't.
We can, and we will, and I'll get back to you.
I thought they would have shown us that, though. They would have said that. That's the bone. Those are the people from all walks of life who have...
So far, we've got a few more days left that we'll never know, but...
Do you have a quick... You're on your net, and you've got a lot of things. Can you open a thing and see if there anything... Look at obituaries today. Let's see if anyone died, like, in the last 5 minutes. Can you look that one up real quick?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, I tell everyone that we're in the waning moments of the roll call from the Bone Garden on 2013 with the artist D and I. The artist D will be available, of course, on the Artist D Show. The Fabulous D Show, fabulousdshow.com is the other one you can get it. And Juice Talk Radio for archives and here and there on the show. And I hope in 2014 on more occasions than just the Bone Garden.
I would hope so. Yeah. No, everybody's.
Do you find
pretty much no, pretty yeah. much the same people. Nobody updated here, so nobody big must have died today.
Someone saying somewhere says, "Well, that's too late. I'll try and make it. I can't make the list now. They're already on the air."
I'm going to wait till January 1st.
Not realizing that we... Oh, you know, we could... Wait, let's see if we can do this real quickly. Let me see if I got this here. Whoa, wait. Let's see if we can do this. Gosh, we have time? Yes, 246 here. On Control Chronicles. Let me look at this right here. Let me look at December 2012 very quickly and see if there's anyone we can send in here. Do I have this here? Did it go? It's going. Come on. Uh-oh. Stopped working. There goes Internet Explorer. Stopped working. No, but then, yes, something died. Internet Explorer died. Oh, here it is. Deaths in 2000. Oh, it's here. Okay, it worked. December? Let's see if we missed anybody really big in December. Politics, Energy, and Television. I'm looking for names really quickly here. That's December 1st. No, December 2nd. Michael Crawford. Oh, no, that's not the actor. Wow, no one. No, well, it looks like we... Okay, hold on, Jennifer. So you're definitely... British photographer. No big names popping out at me. Grady Allen, not Gracie Allen, so that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Listen to me. Oh, look at this. I'm up to the 5th. I don't see anyone. Dave Brubeck died on the 5th of December. He missed our... Oh, wait a second. Maybe he did make it. When did we do this last year?
It was the 20-something, so yeah.
So I got to go down to the end here.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let me.
And there was only 4 days left in the year last year, and this year we've got a whole 5 days left. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen?
Nothing on the 31st of note. On the 30th, were there reported celebrity deaths?
Not major celebrities, but we have Molina Alvarado, who is a Venezuelan actress, Paul Blair, who is an American baseball player for the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees.
Dr. Tangalucala?
Dr. Tangalenga, who was an Argentine comedian.
An Argentine comedian!
He was 97.
Argentine...
He was awfully funny, too.
An Argentine comedian. Oh, I don't know. I have. Okay, so there you go for that. I'm looking through this and I see nothing. Hey, listen, you. We'll be in touch.
We will be in touch.
And thank you again. Boy, did we? We flew by,
we
but
did, we did it for the first time in 8 years.
We did a great.
Made it to the end of the show.
And so go to the Artist D, Fabulous D Show, and stuff like that. And you and I shall talk. And and let me just hit this here right now and just say that it's been terrific. Let's stay alive for another
Thank
year.
You.
And and we'll get together and it'll be great. Thank you again, dear.
Thank you.
We love you, and we want you around for a long time, so hang in there with us, okay?
Let's do that. Yeah.
The Artist D, and of course, you people. And you've been listening to The Roll Call from the Bone Garden and Cotolo Chronicles. Boy, if they all went this quickly, they go fast, but this one really went fast. And we got them all. We'll see you again next time. It'll be the first show of 2014. So whatever that means to you, you'll have a ball. In the meantime, in between time, good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be. And I'll leave you now, and T will leave you now. Although we might not leave one another, but we have nothing more to say.